Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Now, listen, they want me to say hello, welcome to the James Whale Best Bits of Tonight's show, which you can hear every night, Monday to Friday, on Talk Radio from 7 till 10. But I said, wouldn't it be best to call it the Worst of Whale? So have a listen, see what you think.
Right, let's talk to our old friend. Well, she's not. How old is she? She's sort of oldish, I suppose. I'm not really sure. Annabel Denham, Director of Communications at the Institute of Economic Affairs. I didn't know a lot of people in economics had affairs, did you?
Oh, yes, they're all at it in the economics, yes.
Oh, well, we better not talk to her about that. Annabel, good evening.
Good evening. That was quite an introduction, James. I've got a birthday round the corner. It wasn't appreciated.
Yes, wrong thing to say. Not a good
did
intro.
Did you say you've got a birthday round the corner? Oh, I thought you were talking about the affairs. I can never get over that word is used for other things. Have you? How? Is it a good number? Is it a big birthday or not?
Now you're digging even deeper.
Grab your shovel. No birthday's really good now. I think I feel that I've reached that point.
You're a child. What are you talking about? You're a child. You must be 35, I would think.
My next birthday will be my 35th, it's true. And now all of your...
That's pretty good.
Well, you are really good. You've got that technique, haven't you? But you did without even seeing. So,
well, I've seen her before.
Yeah. Because you've got that special way, haven't you? You've got that special way you can do it.
Yeah. I'm not saying on the air now because that would be really rude. Yeah.
Go on then.
What?
Well, you stopped.
I'm not. No, I'm not. I'm not. Anyway, let's start again. So Annabel Denham, Director of Communications at the Institute of Economic Affairs, joins us. Annabel, good evening.
Good evening.
That's better.
Right. Because last time we spoke, or was it a time before, you were head of some other organisation, weren't you? I can't.
I'm in high demand, what can I say?
Yeah.
No, I'm only joking. I was at the Entrepreneurs Network, and I'm now at the Institute of Economic Affairs.
I suppose you found yourself a really good job and then moved on. Yeah. That's good.
Onwards and upwards.
Economic affairs are getting pretty messy at the moment, aren't they?
They are indeed. public spending on the battle against coronavirus has risen to about £190 billion. The Chancellor's announced another £30 billion of support this week. We've had 25% of GDP wiped off. We're going to have about 4 or 5 million people unemployed once the furlough scheme is unwound. So it's all looking a bit messy and a bit bleak.
Yeah.
What do you think is the answer to all of this? Because nobody seems to know. The Chancellor's doing his best, but what is the answer?
Well, I mean, when you're looking at how Rishi can win the peace, you know, the government stuck up this scaffolding to hold the economy up during this crisis. And there's, you know, a big question now of how they remove it. The short answer is by doing very little. When the time comes, the government needs to step aside and let private enterprise, the private sector, drive our recovery. I mean, I heard you both talking about, you know, John Lewis and layoffs. Which is tremendously sad, but the simple and harsh truth could be that in the coming years, you know, we need fewer restaurants, less commercial real estate, fewer airlines, you know, and what we don't want to see are taxpayers subsidising industries or individual businesses that produce something the public no longer demands.
Yeah, it was already doing in a bad state anyway, wasn't it? Some of the John Lewis's. It's nothing to do with the coronavirus. That hasn't helped.
Exactly, and I think we'll see a lot of that. We'll see the coronavirus accelerating pre-existing trends, be it the decline of the high street, you know, the move to remote working, although I do think some of those claims are a bit overblown. And, you know, what we don't want is to be holding our resources, holding workers in certain jobs when they could be put to other uses, supporting the things that people do want.
I mean, I'm putting on your old hat for a moment. If you were going to be, if you're an entrepreneur, what would you be getting into then now?
Oh, what are the sectors? Well, yeah. I mean, I don't know. I think the companies that have done very well are those in online retail, video conferencing software. I mean, before this crisis, there were a lot of complaints from certain corners about big tech's monopoly over the market. You know, the fact that you had these huge tech companies that absolutely dominated, and no one has really been able to keep up with Zoom. I mean, Eric Yuan, who's now the founder of Zoom, is now the 140th wealthiest person in the world. So, I mean, it just goes to show that you can think things are going in one direction, but...
It's true. I wonder why Skype didn't. Yeah, Skype must be kicking themselves.
Exactly. Yeah, but they all are. You know, they've all got rival conferencing platforms, Microsoft Teams, Skype, you know, Google Hangouts, but Zoom really seems to be dominating at the moment. I mean, there are other areas. So a lot of people talk about the decline of commercial real estate, but I think warehouse space will probably... be in high demand, you know, connected again to online retail. So I'm not an investor and or an investment advisor, so I'm really not sure where people should
so it's a total shift in the whole of society, isn't it? Like, jobs are going to change and taxation will have to change, won't it? Because, you know, you have to tax warehouses more than the high street. You have to get all that.
Listen, can I ask a question that may seem very dopey to the two of you and pretty thick? But how come somebody who comes up with the idea of Zoom, which is just putting lots of people on the screen at once, which I think in different ways you could do anyway, so it wasn't really a huge invention.
Funny, isn't it? It's just people started talking about it, sort of went viral.
Please, Ash, just shut up.
Well, I've just told you the answer is.
I'm sorry, Annabelle.
You won't listen, of course you won't.
He's been doing this for the last few days. It's getting on my nerves. I'm speaking to Annabelle now.
Well,
so
she'll just say the same. She's just going to say the same thing.
The James Whale Show. Come praise the whale on Talk Radio.
Of course, the Chancellor just said that they're going to be reopening. Here's your cue, mate. Reopening gyms at
July the 25th.
Slightly slow, but
well,
you said
at July.
At
midday on July the
25th.
Well, on July the 25th.
Right, good.
We'll cut that out and put that in. Yeah, cut that out.
Yeah, fine. Let's talk to Dean Russell, Conservative MP for Watford and member of the Health Select Committee. Dean, good evening to you.
Good evening, James. Thanks for having me on the show.
That's all right, Dean. I did call you Dean Russell, didn't I?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
No, I know. I'm just my brain's a bit strange. You are a doctor.
I'm not, I'm afraid. My initials are DR, so that's probably close enough, hopefully.
Yeah. I was thinking that, how strange it would be. But quite often, MPs we talk to are doctors now. There seem to be quite a lot of doctors who've become members of Parliament.
Such a waste.
Oh, shut up.
Hopefully not, but it's I've got a master's in philosophy and physics, if that helps. In any way.
No, that's very good, because you'll understand my friend here, who's a bit bonkers, but then there are all sorts of things in the atmosphere working against us. It's all down to physics and
particles.
Quantum physics, isn't it? And all that sort
particulates.
Of stuff. He may be half in another dimension.
Well, I think, you know, it sounds like it would be a plot for a good movie. MP goes into space, perhaps.
MP's in space.
Or he ends up walking through a black hole here somewhere.
Sounds like a Marvel movie.
Now, let me start this thing. Why can't they open swimming pools? As far as I know, this virus is not waterborne, is it?
Well, no, but I think, you know, trying to make sure that we're doing everything with the we possibly can. And I think it's sort of gradually, unpicking this lockdown in the safest way we can. And, you know, and I think getting gyms opened later in the month is going to be really important. I know, actually, interestingly, I've had a huge number of people contact me in the past hour thanking us for getting the beauty salons open. Mm. So I think that's been really important.
Yeah, thanks for that, mate.
I don't know whether they were targeting that at me or not. But yeah, so I think, you know, it's really important that we do it in the right way, in the safe way. But what I do know is that there's an awful lot of work going on with public health specialists and experts to make sure that we can get those open. But it's you know, we've got to do it in the right way and at the right time.
Are tennis courts open yet or not?
Oh, the best place to go to double check, I'll double check for you, it's a good question, is I believe so, because I know open sports and outdoor sports are, but the best place to check is the girth.uk website. And that has all the details, and increasingly we'll have more guidance over the coming days as well.
I mean, because you couldn't play squash, I know that, so I don't think you can play squash now, can you?
Well, I think the sports which are particularly high energy inside are the ones where we're having to be really careful. So it's like with concerts, you know, the idea at the moment is that we want to get people and, you know, musicians and so on able to do gigs again, but at the moment only outdoors. When it's indoors, it poses an additional problem. Because I'm no expert in this, but I'd imagine it's often due to ventilation and close contact, whereas outdoors you can keep people further apart. And I know there's a load of work going into the impact of things like singing, and even brass instruments, you know, how does that spread things? So I think, you know, some of these things probably feel a bit peculiar, but, you know, when you get into the nitty-gritty of it, they're going to have a massive impact in some way. So we're just trying to make sure.
It's full of aerosols. That's what they're They hang in the air. The aerosol of the...
Oh, aerosol.
It's not just 2 metres. They do actually, droplets hang in the air indoors.
Can I just say that I'm not a big sports fan. I don't mind doing it in many cases, but I don't really like going along and watching it. And I thought, I saw a bit of cricket on the TV this afternoon, just in the news. How much more exciting and relaxing is it to watch cricket without an audience?
Is it?
Well,
I thought it was.
It's the same, isn't it? It's just like...
No, it's better.
Well, I think that's the thing that's I suppose part of this whole process, isn't it? We're trying to get back to some sort of normality. And I know people will be, you know, really wanting to get back into the crowds to be in a football match or cricket matches and so on. But, you know, I think if we do it in the right way, it means that there'll be a longevity there. There'll be the ability to make sure that we're keeping the peak down. You know, all of those things are important. So hopefully, I mean, I think everyone wants to get back to normal, but I think it's going to take, you know, weeks, months, and hopefully not too much longer, but we've got to do it in the right way. And I know that's a bit boring for some, but it's better to make sure that we're doing it in a way that's sustainable.
They're going to have to ban footballers spitting and stuff as well. They can't be doing that anymore in these days of hygiene.
Well, I don't think they are.
Yeah, they all spit.
I wish we could ban it when I see joggers spitting. I must admit, I've seen a few running past and cycling close to people. And
it is actually illegal, I think, to do that.
I think joggers and cyclists need to be kept out of towns and city centres, because you're absolutely right. They're a complete and utter nuisance. And I should really send a note to Boris about it, shouldn't I?
Yeah.
The James Whale Show. Come praise the whale on Talk Radio.
Now, the TV licence, it's not going to be free if you're over 75 anymore, unless... you are on pension credits, but there are quite a lot of people who aren't on pension credits. The TV licence fee is a bit difficult. And maybe they want Netflix anyway. Yeah. I actually think that we should scrap the whole of the licence fee, get rid of it, and then if people want the BBC services, then they just pay for them. And if the BBC can't run the monolith of company that the BBC has become... And in some ways, they think they're more powerful than everyone. Anybody in the country. Well, in a way, they've been allowed to. I've worked for them for quite some time. The very big executives get paid a ridiculous amount of money, a lot more than people get anywhere else.
And pensions,
And a few celebrities might get very well paid, but majority of time the BBC's always saying, well, we haven't got enough money, we can't pay you this or we can't pay you that, or we're scrapping this or we're scrapping that. Come on, the BBC has just become a joke. If you really want it, you can pay for it. I'm not stopping you. But I don't think we should be a license anymore, because if I want to watch other programmes, then I pay for those and I'll watch them. And if I want to pay for something on the BBC, then I will pay for that as well at the time that I use it. But
they
need all these
over 75s to pay for Gary Lineker's wages, so he can keep in the lifestyle he's accustomed to.
Yeah, get rid of... I mean, Gary Lineker's a nice guy. He's got lots of money anyway. He doesn't need the £1 million he gets from the BBC, I don't think.
No.
And I'm sure if you said to him, look, Gary, we can't afford to pay you this much. Can we pay you sort of, I don't know.
It's match of the day anyway. The show sells itself. It's the football people want to see. They don't need him in there at all.
Let's talk to Joel Williams. He's a Conservative councillor for Cardiff North. And he wants it scrapped too. So I thought rather than having an argument with somebody tonight, we'll have somebody on who totally agrees with me. Ah, Joel, good evening.
Good evening, James. How are you?
I'm very good. You don't sound Welsh.
You know what? A lot of people tell me that, but when I leave Wales, apparently I sound Welsh. So
you do a bit, I think, yeah.
Just a little bit?
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah, I'm beginning to hear it now. I'm sorry, yeah.
Yeah. Well, let's get down to business.
Shall we? Well, I'm in charge of this show, Joel. I'll decide when we get down to business, mate, not you. This is the problem with the councillors and various other people. They suddenly think they're in charge of
everything.
He's
got authority. I like it. It's authoritative.
Do you really? Well, we're not having anybody in authority over me, Ash. You should have learnt that, Ash, shouldn't you?
Well, James, anyway, I'm very passionate about this issue.
I'm sure you are. The issue that I have spoken about on many occasions and on many platforms. And by the way, I do occasionally, probably not so much now, I can't see me getting any work on the BBC. But I have worked for the BBC quite a lot. And I've done some programmes for them that became very successful, I'm very happy to say. But there are parts of the BBC I think that should be paid for out of whatever money they make, and that mostly is their local radio stations, which nobody does local news to the extent they would be able to do it, not papers or anything else, and that's what they should be covering, not playing loads of records but like every other radio station. That's just a particular beef of mine. I think we should get rid of it. What would the BBC do, Joel, if we did?
Well, what I would like to see, James, is the licence fee scrapped in its entirety. We need to move to an opt-in service, which can therefore allow the BBC to raise additional revenue. And if the BBC is so confident that it delivers a fantastic service, then allow people the choice to opt in to watch and stream its services. Mm. Now, it's wrong that in the last couple of days, the BBC have reaffirmed their view that the over 75s will now have to pay for their television licence. And, you know, the BBC have got some fantastic presenters. But I really don't believe that those presenters are worth 10,000 over 75s hard-earned cash per annum. Mm. Now, the Conservative Party that I am proud to represent is the party of the consumer, and we should be on the side of decent, hard-working people. We should also be on the side of choice. Now, Amazon and Netflix, to name but a few, people can choose. If people don't like their services, they can choose to go somewhere else. Now, in the last week, I have left my bank, HSBC. Why? Because I'm not happy that they have come out in support of the Chinese government's decision against
Hong
Kong.
Good point. Yeah.
But I've taken that decision.
And what do you think about Huawei? What do you think about the decision that it looks now as if we can't get out of any contract with them because it would ruin our telephone network and we would all go dead on 2G, 3G, 4G, 5G, whatever it is, until actually the telecoms in this country get it all up and running. We have relied so much on them, they actually control our phone market.
That's a sign, isn't it, then, to get out
you
now?
Know,
well,
that's
I think that
worrying.
That is an indication that if we are seeing from the Chinese government sort of wavelengths along the lines of, we want to be your friend, if you're not our friend, things could get ugly. Yeah. Well, actually, let's pull out now whilst we're able to. Yeah. It may be difficult, but it'll be a lot easier than if we're later down the road.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you know, people rely on their phones now. It's a piece of equipment that nobody can do without.
Absolutely.
Trust me, what I heard today is that if we get rid of the Huawei involvement, we wouldn't be able to operate the phone network in the country we have like it is for at least another 5 years. And I don't have time to wait that long. Do you, Ash?
Well, I don't. Is that true, though? I mean, our phones
would go...
That's
what they're saying. Well, that's what conservative... No, not a conservative minister. No. I think one of the big bods in...
I'm sure the rest of the company...
British Telecom.
The Americans would help us, and the Finnish, who are experts, you know, the other companies would help us, because it'd be in their interest to help us.
The James Whale Show. Come praise the whale on Talk Radio.
We didn't get any money, did we?
I got a checky today in the post.
What?
I didn't even look what it was for. I just paid it in, and yeah, man, I'm going to have a good weekend.
Director of Communications at the Institute of Economic Affairs. I didn't know a lot of people in economics had affairs, did you?
Oh, yeah, so all that's it in economics, yeah.
I could see myself getting massaged, covered in warm oils, and then plunging in the plunge pool. Is that not on?
Whether it's legal or not, it's not on.
Huge number of people contact me in the past hour thanking us for getting the beauty salon open. Mm. So I think that's been really important.
Yeah, thanks for that, mate.
Let's get down to business.
I'm in charge of this show, Joel. I'll decide when we get down to business, mate, not you. This is the problem with the councillors and various other people. They suddenly think they're in charge of
everything. He's got authority. I like it.
We've got a caller. Who are we going to next?
We're going to Jerry in Bristol. Jerry the trucker.
All right, as long as it's not... Gavin, good evening. Welcome.
Hi, Gavin. Hi, Ash.
Hi, Gavin. Hi,
Ash. No, I'm James. Yeah. Anyway, listen, so it's you we should be talking to, not us. Yeah. We talk to ourselves all the time and it gets annoying. That was the clips for today. The worst of Whale, or sorry, the best of James Whale. Thank you for listening. Hope you enjoyed them. Well, I suppose if you didn't enjoy them, you won't be listening, will you? Anyway, I'll be back 7 o'clock until 10, Monday to Friday, on Talk Radio. Have a great day. Thank you for listening.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.